Turn your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, if you will. I had two thoughts in mind for this morning, and I finally landed on something quite different. So you'll have to bear with me and maybe forgive me, I'm not sure. Just going to give you a couple of verses here, and then we shall be looking at some more scripture later on, because that's kind of how the whole thing goes. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, there were two people, and I mentioned this morning in the first meeting. Simeon was one, and he was waiting for the Lord to come. And when the Lord came, he was very happy. He said, "Now I can die in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Tremendous insight there, that he realized and knew that this was a light to lighten the Gentiles, not just the Jewish people. And then further down the page you read that there was an old lady named Anna, an elderly individual who was up there in her 80s, 84 years of age. And it said that she, coming in at that moment, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. This 84-year-old lady had been looking for him, waiting for him, and she was going to do one thing, and she was going to speak to anybody who came to Jerusalem. She was going to talk to them about the Lord. And one of the things about Christmas, the main thing to me about Christmas is it's a tremendous opportunity to preach to people, to witness to people, to share the gospel with people. Tremendous opportunity. All over the world, at this time of the year, people are using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are actually singing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Many don't understand what they're singing, and whenever it's just a commercialism and way to get people to spend more money, etc., etc. But the fact is that the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is out there, and we can pounce on that. We can use that, and we do use. Some time ago, I don't know if you've seen them. I produced this tract. I think you've seen some of them there, called "The Crib and the Cross." And it tells the story of Christmas and Easter. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." That's Christmas. Then whoever believes on him, that's Easter. And so it's a tremendous opportunity to preach the gospel. And one of the ways that you can do this is through Christmas carols and see what they actually say. Now, as I said, this is going to be a little different this morning. I love songs, I love carols, I love hymns, I like looking at them, and sometimes I wince when I see the words, because some of them are just not scriptural even, and some of them they have Christians singing stuff that they don't need to sing because the Lord has already come to us and so forth and so on. However, still tremendous opportunities. And so what I thought I'd do this morning, in whatever time I have, I thought we'd talk a little about these Christmas carols, maybe a bit of insight to where they came from. But first of all, I thought I'd just kind of, on a bit of a lighter note, just look at some of the other side of the thing, because Christmas is a time when we hear many familiar and well-loved songs and carols, and some are beautiful and some are fun, and others are just plain ridiculous, and that's the truth of it. I mean, you think about it, Christmas chestnuts roasting on an open fire would break all kinds of safety rules these days, you know. And I don't know if anybody here has ever roasted chestnuts on an open fire. Anybody ever done that, by the way? Yeah, one old person there, another young person over there, my word. And the idea of reindeer landing on a roof with a sleigh loaded with an obese man stacked with presents, I mean, there's so much wrong with that picture, so much wrong. I mean, what if it's an old house and it hasn't been built to code? I mean, how about that? That's, then the idea of them sliding down a chimney, you know, worse than that, you know, you get a child gets up at Christmas, he got some drink of water in the middle of the night, he comes down, and here's this fat man in a red suit kissing his mother. I mean, how much trauma would that create over the years? And, you know, the thing is that there's so many of these, you know, that the people sing at Christmas being nice, naughty or nice and so forth and so forth like that. But then, you know what, some of the Christmas the religious songs are a little bit different too. One of the English ones is, in the bleak midwinter, frosty winds made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Well, it might have been that like that in the Arctic or somewhere like that, I don't know. But certainly not when Mary and Joseph went to register. Not likely that was going to happen. But I mean, the people sing that, and they love it. I used to love it as a kid. And just imagine that there's a newborn baby fast asleep. His mother Mary is exhausted, and all is quiet and all is peaceful. And all of a sudden, here comes this kid who didn't bring any gift, but he's beating on a drum. You know, little drummer boy. I mean, I can't imagine there. Mary would have probably said, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and far away. Anyway, there's so many. And I thought it's kind of funny because I've got a British sense of humour. I heard a new one the other day, and this wasn't supposed to be funny, and it isn't funny, it's kind of sad, because it's a new one. And it talks about the Lord coming down to show us our worth and helping us to understand. I think so. I don't think because we don't have worth. He came because Jesus Christ realized that knows that we're sinners and needed to be saved. Anyway, all of that frivolity aside, the idea of Christmas carols has been around for a long time. And I don't know how long these just goes way, way, way back. Back in the 1800s, there would be men who would be licensed to sing in the streets of London. And they'd be actually licensed, and they could go around singing, and then they would be singing Christmas carols. And one of them they would sing would be God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And listen to this. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Saviour was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power. When we were gone astray, O tidings of comfort and joy. It speaks about this day a Saviour born of a virgin, and so it goes on. Way back then, and they would be singing this in the street, and needless to say, they would probably get money for that. But way back then in the 1800s, the gospel was being sung in the streets of London. And then there's one that we used to sing back in England, and a beautiful old hymn called Once in Royal David City. And this carol was written by Cecil Frances Alexander. It was first published in 1848 in her hymn book, Hymns for the Little Children. It was actually a children's hymn. A year later, an English organist discovered it, and he set it to music. She, by the way, also wrote All Things Bright and Beautiful, There is a Green Hill Far Away, Jesus Calls Us Over the Tumult, and many others. She's a very prolific hymn writer. Now, in 1919, the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols was sung at King's College, Cambridge. Has anybody ever heard the music from King's College, Cambridge, where they sing on Christmas Eve? A boy soprano, is chosen the night before, and he starts it off with no accompaniment, and he sings Once in Royal David City. It's absolutely beautiful. I don't know how many years you have to book up to get into even one of those things, but that was one that was sung. But this is another one. Wonderful, wonderful words to this. Once in Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed. Well, actually, he was born in a cave. That's what they were using back then. But anyway, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed, Mary was that mother mild, and Jesus Christ a little child. He came down to earth from heaven, listen to this, who is God and Lord of all. See, this is priceless stuff. This is what we're singing. This is what unsaved people are singing. His shelter was a stable, his cradle was a store. With the poor and mean and lowly, lived on earth our Saviour holy. So he did. He lived in Nazareth, one of the poor areas where people kind of looked upon the area of Nazareth with scorn. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, they said. Well, nobody thought anything good come out of there. And then the next two verses deal with his childhood, and that's where it comes to be a children's hymn. But then he goes on to say this. He says, and our eyes at last shall see him. Well, how come? Through his own redeeming love. For that child, so dear and gentle, is our Lord from heaven above. He leads his, and he leads his children onto the place where he is gone. Not to that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by. We shall see him. Listen to this. But in heaven. But in heaven. Sat at God's right hand on high, where like stars his children crowned, all in white shall stand around. Well, why in white? Well, not because we've got the finest linen in the land, but because we'll be dressed in the very righteousness of God that was given us when we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Saviour. This is priceless. This is wonderful stuff. And it's written right here in these carols that they sing every year, every year, every year. We just sang one a moment ago about Silent Night. That's an interesting one. You know the story probably very well because it's a well-known story. But the man who wrote this was actually a Catholic priest named Joseph Murr. He was in Obendorf, Austria. The organist of his church and the next village too was a man named Franz Xaver Gruber. And he was also the schoolmaster in the nearby village of Arnsdorf. Just before Christmas in 1818, the organ broke down. It became disorganized. And this man Moer, he had written this Silent Night, and I don't know, you get different stories, different varieties of the stories, but he had written this little Silent Night song there, and he brought the words to Gruber and asked him to compose a melody and play it on the guitar for the evening service because the organ had broken down. So he came up with this thing in a very short space of time. And so it was performed during the service on Christmas Eve 1818. Now, it might have remained obscure, except that the guy who came to repair the organist found it, and he took it, and for the rest is history. It's interesting because during the First World War, this carol was sung simultaneously by the Germans and by the English troops during the truce that they had on Christmas Day in the First World War. They sang this hymn, Silent Night. Both sides sang this hymn. The version of this song by Bing Crosby is actually the third best-selling song of all time. Isn't that something? The third best-selling song of all time has got some very interesting words. Very interesting words. You know them very well. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, we just sang these words. Shepherds quake at the sight, glorious stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing, hallelujah. Christ the Saviour is born. But listen, they also sang this. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face. Listen to this. With the dawn of redeeming grace. That was written by a Catholic priest way, way back there. Is the third best Christmas carol, most sung Christmas carol in the world. And all over the world, men are singing about God's redeeming grace. How God sent his Son to buy mankind back from sin. But probably one of the main ones, and you can you could spend hours on this particular one, which we're not going to do, by the way. The next one is called Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And maybe you have a favourite carol too. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Charles Wesley lived in the 1700s, so we're now going way back. 1700s, him and his brother John. John Wesley, when he was 86, was still riding around the country on horseback preaching the gospel. These two boys, they had a zeal and a passion for the gospel. Charles Wesley wrote some 8,000 hymns. 8,000. And that's, by the way, without the aid of the internet or computers or all of those kind of things. He had no idea. He wrote this in 1739. He had no idea it was going to become famous. In fact, he first named it "Hark How All the Welkin Ring." And Welkin was an archaic English term for the heavens. And then George Whitfield, who interestingly was another believer, famous believer of that time, he got hold of it. And by the way, George Whitfield used to preach on Blackheath Common in London, and they said that you could hear him a mile away. That's how powerful his voice was. He would preach the gospel on Sunday afternoon. Blackheath Common, people didn't have the NFL and all that kind of stuff, and TV, and so they would go for a walk on Sunday afternoon, and they'd get onto the heaths and the commons, and here would be George Whitfield preaching the gospel with such power you could hear his voice a mile away. That was really astounding. Anyway, he got hold of it, and he published it in 1753. He changed the first line to read, "Hark the herald angels sing," and so it has remained that way ever since. The first 120 years, the tune was various ones, but that was changed in 1856 when a man named William Cummins put the lyrics to a tune written by Mendelssohn for the Gutenberg Festival in 1840, which was to celebrate the introduction of printing. Mendelssohn would be surprised, because he had written that his tune would be welcomed by singers and hearers, but would never do for sacred words. So he probably got a surprise. And I was actually noticing this morning that one of the songs that we sang, the music was written by George Handel, George Frederick Handel. Amazing, that is. But anyway, Charles Wesley's hymn is very interesting because it gives us actually a very good survey of theology. You'd never think it would. Some people think, well, you've got to be careful with hymns when you do, because you can't. A lot of hymns say some very ridiculous things. But listen to this. And as we go through it in a few minutes, we're going to look at some of these things. It mentions many of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. This one carol. The titles of Christ: King, Lord, Prince of Peace, Son of Righteousness, Everlasting Lord, Desire of Nations, Incarnate Deity, and Emmanuel. This is in this one Christmas carol. And this is one that will be sung all over the world in the next few days, and has already been sung all over the world. My passion is that we will take and realize what we have in our hands. And you can even ask it, what's your favourite carol? You can ask an unsaved person, what is your favourite carol? Which one do you like? And they'll probably all say Silent Night. Or some other thing, I don't know. But you've got some, and it doesn't matter which one you have, you can guarantee pretty much that oftentimes you'll find a line or a verse or something in there which will give you the opportunity to say, well, what does that mean? What is redeeming grace with the dawn, with the beginning of redeeming grace? What does that mean? Look, folks, the Spirit of God, I keep saying this, the Spirit of God is in the soul-winning business. He is. I got out of my car this morning outside there. Your sidewalk. Here's a guy come down the street and he was smoking. Just right walking along, see? So I said, morning. You can do that, you know. You know, it's okay to say good morning to a complete stranger. It is. You know, you it's okay. You can do that. You can even make a friendly comment to him. See? So somehow we went back and forth. He said, Merry Christmas and what a beautiful day and all. And you know, all of your usual stuff, see? So anyway, he walks a bit further on. And then he looked at your notice board. So I scurried, well, a bit slower than that maybe, but I got a bit closer to him. I said, you should come to our second meeting. Oh, yeah, my church is over there. Yeah. Okay, but you know what? I have one of those in my pocket. I got it out and I gave it to him. I called it a Christmas card. Yeah, I got a Christmas card. This guy, I mean, you'd think I'd given him $15 or $20 or something. He was so happy to get that. And I find that when you give somebody something like that, you know, you get sometimes, you've got to build up a bit of a relationship. You can't just give them a piece of paper because they just dump it oftentimes. But if you've established something, if you've said good morning to them, or you've talked about the weather or the maple leaves or whatever you want to talk about, I don't care what you're talking about. But oftentimes you get to a place where you're actually conversing and then you give them something that's got the gospel. I notice you've got some other gospel tracts there on the table. Take them, clean them out. They can buy some more. There's plenty of people out there who need the gospel. So, with this, all this theology here, all these truths, the titles of Christ: King, Lord, Prince of Peace, Son of Righteousness, Everlasting Lord, Desire of Nations, Incarnate Deity, Emmanuel, God with us. Wow. That's all in one hymn. And then, after the first verse calls us to pray, we're going to read through in a minute, after the first verse calls us to praise the newborn king, note that, the following verses celebrate, look at this, the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the resurrection of the body, and the truth of the new birth. Let me read that again to you. It celebrates the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the resurrection of the body, and the truth of the new birth. It talks about mild he lays his glory by, which refers to his willingness to lay his glory aside, the glory of heaven, and take on human nature and become one of us, in a sense. He also talks about late in time, behold him come. That reminds us of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, where we're told, in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. You know, folks, some places in the world, you're not allowed to say things, to speak about any particular issue. So you know what people do? They write songs. And they sing the songs. And eventually they catch on to the fact that these are revolutionary songs, and so they get banned. But we're still singing these. Every time someone sings, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, that's what you're singing. And for more than 275 years, Christians around the world have been blessed by this Christmas carol that reminds us of God's great gift to us. What it says, we're gonna finish by singing this. It says this, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Actually, the Bible says that they said, but we'll let them get away with that one. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. That's what salvation is. God and sinners reconciled. That we were separated from God by sin. Had a great day the other day. I had to get Carol to the hospital by 7 o'clock in the morning. They had to give her some kind of a test. And, of course, we got there and the computers were down. And it's amazing. When the computers are down, nothing's going to happen. Oh, there we sat. Eventually, they wheeled us into where she was going to get the CAT scan. I don't want to call it a cat because she's human. Anyway, they wheeled us through there. And here's another two people singing, a late lady and another lady, a bit younger lady. And the Lord just opened it up for us to just chat. There was just those two and us two. And we just, early in the morning, here we are, and we got to share the gospel with them. And they were so happy. They loved that. I went out of there, and I went to the Royal in Guelph, which is a senior's home, and they had asked us if we would do a carol service, carol sing, in the main part. So here, the team of us, we got to share the gospel to all of these older people there. Had a great time. I came out and I went shopping. I go with one of my daughters. I go shopping every year. We go out and we go for lunch and stuff like that. And it usually costs me a fortune. But we went, and so we had to go to Zayas. Went in there, and here's this man, and he's sitting there, and he's collecting money for the Salvation Army. Now, I talked to some other Salvation Army people a couple of nights before, in fact, the very night before, and I said, you know what concerns me? I said, why don't you give everybody a tract? You know, it comes, you're asking them, why don't you give them a tract? And she said, oh, that's a good idea. So I gave one of my tracts just a little bit of an idea, and she asked where she could order them. So you never know what might happen. Might see the Salvation Army handing out tracts, because, yes, I don't mind giving the money, but hey, what about giving them something that's going to do them some good? So here's this man, and he's sitting there, and very cheerful man, and he said, Merry Christmas or something. So I decided to let my daughter shop, and I went and talked to him. So he asked me, he was a Christian, actually, which is not always the case in that situation, but he asked me a question. Eventually we got round to what the Salvation Army believe. And we're pretty much on the same page, except that they don't believe in eternal security. So this man is telling me how you can be saved and lost, and how Satan never gives up. You'll be careful, Satan never gives up. So it was quite funny, because I had the advantage of having been round the subject perhaps a bit longer than him. And so a few scriptural demonstrations, examples of how that's not true. And he waved goodbye, and he said, oh, Merry Christmas, even though you did get the better of me. You know, well, even that situation was able to talk and share the gospel. And there's opportunities, folks, and it's for every one of us. All of us getting souls saved. That's so very, very important. The next verse says here, Christ by highest heaven adored. The Lord left that out of the ivory palaces, the old psalm says. Christ the everlasting Lord. No beginning, no end after the order of Melchizedek. Late in time, behold him come. Late in time, the actual right time, exact time. Offspring of the favored one, veiled in flesh. He took upon himself the form of humanity, the Godhead. See, he's part of the Godhead. Hail the incarnate deity. God, the Son, becoming flesh. It's as pleased as man with men to dwell. I've thought about that lately, you know, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and took up his residence amongst sinful men, amongst you and I. And we see this wicked, sinful world, and it is too. My word, there is so much hatred these days. I can't hardly believe how much hatred there is towards the United States, President of the United States. You're not even our president. And I saw in a situation last week where I got one Christian saying one thing and the other. And I thought, oh my word. I was down in Arizona a couple of weeks ago. More, I can't remember now, 3 weeks maybe. And one side loves this side. Then you go over here and another side loves that side. And it's not that there's any kind of compassion. It's hatred, pure hatred. It's a dark and it's a sinful world. It really is. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to come and dwell with us, because he had a purpose, and the purpose was his great love for us in order to bring us to an eternity with him. No wonder, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Hail the heaven-born, the prince of peace. That goes way back to the Old Testament, doesn't it? Hail the son of righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. In this old dark world, guess what he brings? He brings light and life. Now, you know, I think most of you this morning, probably I hope you're Christians. But you know what? If you don't, you're living in a dark place. You're living in a dark world. And we have, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have light and we have life. I came this morning. I was really looking forward to coming. I always look forward to coming to Bethel. And we had a lovely worship service this morning. And the theme of it, which seemed to be developed there, was that of remembering him. They remembered. It kept coming up, this thing of remembering the Lord. And I've got to tell you, folks, what a blessing to get out of all of this other stuff and just remember him. Just not think about those other things, but just focus on every aspect of the Lord's life as the Spirit of God leads. What a tremendous thing that is. He said, "Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings." Well, what does that mean? You mean it's going to heal you of a cold and stuff like that? Well, there's no doubt about it that because of the Lord and because of indwelling men, because of what he's given to men, there has been tremendous strides in healing of sickness and so forth and so on. But that's got nothing to do with that. The healing he's talking about here is healing from the sickness of sin, the terminal illness of sin. And I love this, "mild he lays his glory by." Boy, what an act he took upon himself, the form of a servant, as we read over there in Philippians. And seriously, what about this? "Born that man no more may die." I don't know what you think about that, but some of us are not young anymore. In fact, some of us might not be here next year. Some of us may well be gone. I get over to Arkle Road, lost two or three there over the last while, gone. What kind of a statement is that? "Born that man no more may die." We know everybody's going to die. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that those who know him will never see death. There's six different meanings of the word "see" in the Bible. And this means that someone who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ will never ever see death in the same way that an unbeliever sees death. Well, we pass through the valley of the shadows, no question there. But what about this? "Born that man no more may die." In other words, you born so that you and I can have eternal and everlasting life. Not darkness. Life and light. I've thought about hell. I'm not going there not because I don't deserve it, because I do. I'm not going there because Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for all of my sins. People joke about hell, we're pushing daisies up and all that kind of thing. You know what I think may well be the worst aspect of hell? I think it may be that you can't forget. You can't forget. Can you imagine an eternity in hell and you keep remembering, singing this old Christmas carol that said, "Born that man no more may die. Born to give us second birth. Born to raise the sons of earth." Can you imagine hearing that dear man on the sidewalk, if he doesn't get saved, can you imagine him remembering for all of eternity that one day he held in his hands John 3:16? Friends, that is the terrible, terrible reality that so many people are facing. So many to whom this means nothing at all. This Christmas we'll sing all the carols and yes, it's cute and it's this and that and the other. But the reality is that Jesus Christ came to earth, born that man no more may die. He came to give everlasting life. And folks, if you have everlasting life this morning, please, please, please share it with somebody else over this Christmas period. Please make it your goal to by the Lord's leading, and let him do it, because he can open up the way. You can be sitting at a Christmas party. I was down in Arizona recently, and it was a dark time. I was with family and stuff, but I've been down there a number of years, and for the first time, it just seemed like there was no spiritual life at all. Oh, I got to share with a couple of Christians who were not walking with the Lord or kind of struggling, etc., etc. It just happened. They asked me to pray at the Thanksgiving meal, which I did, but it was just sad. It was dark, and it was sad. But you know what? Right there at the table, everybody else left, and this one girl sat there, and she said, she sort of blurted out that she was a Christian. And she got to tell me some of her struggles. Because the Lord came to give light and to give life. I was on the way home on the plane, and here's a young man, and for most of the flight, he sat there with his earbuds in and his face in his hands. And so, of course, I thought, well, that basically takes care of that. I'm not going to get much chance to talk to him. But eventually, the food came round. Eventually, he kind of stirred a little bit. He had a hangover. So I told him, I said, you know whose fault that is, don't you? I said, you know whose fault it is that you've got a hangover, don't you? I said, that would be yours. I talked to him a little bit before then, so we kind of laughed a little bit. But you know what? In that situation, awful as it is, I got to give him a tract and got to share the gospel. Because the Lord, because of his tremendous love, he keeps opening up the doors, because the Spirit of God is in the soul, winning business. Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. No wonder. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Can you imagine as you sing that? Speaking of the king, the Lord, the Prince of Peace, the Son of Righteousness, the everlasting Lord, the desire of nations, the incarnate deity, and Emmanuel, God with us. And I realize that this is perhaps not what you're used to from me this morning, but I just thought, you know what? There's so much tremendous truth in here. And I hope that you can take it. And whenever you hear a Christmas carol sung, or you get to talk and chat, you know, you can just throw the question out at a family and go, what's your favorite Christmas carol? You can just do that. It's amazing what the Lord can do to to generate discussion on the subject and give you an opportunity to share the gospel. There was one other, I don't have time to get into it now, but this lovely old hymn, Once in Royal David City. You can start on that one, and you can't get past the first line, once. And then you go to the book of Hebrews and you read how, guess what? This was a once and for all event. This was once, it wasn't twice or three times, it was once. And guess what? It was in Royal David City, which is Bethlehem, a particular Bethlehem, Bethlehem Ephrata, not Nazareth. And that's just another one. Pick a carol, look at it, read it, pick your own favourite carol, and see, you'll see in there with the gospel.